Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Have you ever heard that story that Napoleon used the Egyptian Sphinx for target practice and shot its nose off? Or maybe you've heard that a French astrologer named Nostradamus correctly predicted nearly 500 years of human history. Or maybe someone told you that the legendary blues guitarist Robert Johnson sold his soul to the devil at a crossroads in Mississippi. These stories are what I like to call historical myths, great little tales that may or may not have any basis in historical fact. On Our Fake History, we explore these historical myths and try to determine what's fact, what's fiction, and what is such a good story, it simply must be told. If you dig stories about death-obsessed emperors, lost civilizations, desperate sieges, voodoo black magic, and famous historical figures you thought you knew, then Our Fake History might just be your new favorite podcast. Still not sure? Then stick around to the end of the episode today to hear a teaser episode of Our Fake History. If you dig it, then subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, what are we talking about in this episode?
Oh, we're going to talk a little bit about our friend Jim Farley racing his Lola, Cosworth Power Lola, updates on Ford Bronco roof hardtops, and Corvette Z06.
And a little horsepower torque quiz.
Horsepower torque
quiz. I think you guys will find it interesting.
Yeah.
All right, first there's Rock Auto. RockAuto.com. Why spend 30 to 50%, even 100% more for the same parts that a chain store or dealership might have? Why spend so much there? Why not go to rockauto.com? It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Everything from engine control modules to brakes to motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic car or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few clicks delivered direct to your door. Go to rockauto.com. See all the parts available for your car or your truck. Write Corolla in the How Did You Hear About Us? So that is Corolla, C-A-R-O-L-L-A, in the How Did You Hear About Us box. So they know we sent you. An amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a choice. Got on a mandate. Get it on. And welcome to CarCast. I'm Adam Kroll. It's Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea, over there.
Hello. How are you?
I'm well, tired. Running around, crazy schedule.
Yeah.
Early morning. Yeah.
You didn't sign up for this shit.
No, I did not. I'm supposed to be entering my days of leisure. What's going on in the car world?
There's a lot going on in the car world. I'm heading out to PRI show for the first time. It's kind of the more racing-oriented version of the SEMA show, and I've never been. I hear it's fantastic. I'm excited to go. I'm going to be doing a CarCast out there. So, hey, next week, take the week off. I got you covered.
Good. I sent you over a couple of Bring a Trailer results.
Yeah.
I sent you over a Lamborghini Murcielago, I think, that was like $505,000. That's a kind of modern day Lambo. I think it's like an 06.
Yeah. Did it do better than that? Hold on.
It did 500 and change. I think it was 505, but I don't know. Maybe it was better than that. Because I did.
Yeah, also, 515. But you're right.
It did a little better. I also sent you, and maybe I'm thinking about the Power Wagon Custom that was 405.
405. So right. The Power Wagon. This has been interesting because, like Winslow Bent is a guy that does legacy classic trucks, and he's making these things, these sort of really nice rebuilt, like drivable versions. So now they're, and you know, he's selling for $400,000. And it's amazing how these power wagons are starting to turn into the next thing, like an Icon Bronco or even like a Singer Porsche. That, you know, people are loving these things. And when you start getting in a guy like Winslow, who knows the history of all of them and the wacky vehicles over the years, you realize some of the crazy, crazy, like rare trucks that have come up. And he's like, yeah, we're gonna modify this, and we're gonna turn this into something drivable.
Yeah, I chalk it up. I look at those trucks kind of like the way I look at the steampunk movement. I'm like, really? Seems like a lot of work for that.
Seems like a lot of work.
What are you going to do with that? You got to leave the house at some point. What do you do with the aviator goggles and the top hat and stuff? Like, at some point, you just want to go to the corner store, right?
Yeah.
You have to put the goggles on?
You probably do, but you've committed to that.
Now, look, I never want to be one of those, you know, I don't want to be my mom. Like, oh, who needs to go 200 miles an hour? Why would you need, you know, what do you need this for? I love it all, but, you know, maybe I'm just an old fart, but, you know, I look at that truck and I go, this doesn't look like 400 grand, but also good. And yeah. good news for them. Well, good news for Sean, who's at my shop with 70 carcasses of Suburbans from the 70s that he's whacking up with a torch, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a cool piece. It's just I'm happy and or surprised at the 400 grand, but it's nice. As we keep talking about that market, you know, that sort of custom, you know, it was always a given. You spent 400 grand to make it, mm-hmm. and then it was worth 86 grand. That mm-hmm. was the market.
Yeah.
And it's good for anybody who's wants to go out and do something. You know, there's a justification. You know, if you are saying, and there's also a kind of a family finance, you know, clear it with the old lady equation too, which is like, you know, if you live in a house and you say, look, you know, we should do a kitchen remod, it's going to cost 150 grand, but, you know, I think it's going to add 250 grand to the price of the house if we ever sell it. You know, that's easy to sign off on. Mm-hmm. If you go, I'm going to put a lazy river around the pool, you know, and it's going to cost 700 grand. It's not going to add 700 grand to the house. So it's a tough sell.
Yeah.
But with these cars and, you know, we've seen a Porsche version of this, you know, as a guy who's working on, you know, 935 Apple car tribute replica car, you know, you go, geez, do you want to put 200 grand into this clone car?
Yeah,
well,
right.
Now you do. You know yeah. what I mean? Like, oh, you go, okay, well, if you do a good job on your Apple clone car, then there's probably more than 200 grand there for you. And that kind of opens it up.
I'm looking at this Power Wagon. It's got a lot of stuff and it looks good. And, you know, there's a few things that I don't really care for, but I don't think this thing was anywhere near 400 to make, you know. So this isn't one of the turnkey ones, you know, that was 400 grand. They obviously did a lot of work on this thing, but was it 400 grand? I don't know. I mean, just, I'm not sure that it's quite there. The other movement that I'm seeing, that it's kind of hit or miss. Most of the time, I don't necessarily like it. You've seen this is Chris on Bring a Trailer. There's this Bronco. It's red. It's probably like a 78. It might be like a four-door Bronco like a four-door pickup truck with a cab over the back to make it look like a Bronco.
Yeah, I saw that.
So what they did is they said, hey, we took this retro-looking truck and mm-hmm. we put a modern-day F-150 Raptor underneath it, full, like, Raptor suspension and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So you got this classic-looking truck with the full Raptor suspension. I mm-hmm. like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then in the interior, they put, like, the dash and gauges and touchscreen and seats from the Raptor. I don't like that. I'm like, now you just made it a Raptor and kind of rebodied it. I would have liked to have seen the classic interior styling of it, most, you know, for the most part, you know, maybe change the seats or the radio or something, right? You know, air conditioning, power steering. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. it would have been cool if you would have been like, oh, this is a you know, a 78 Bronco or a 78 F-150 with full Raptor underneath it. But look at the interior. It's got the classic styling, and, you know, we made a couple small touches. But if I got in and it just felt like a brand new Raptor, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I was looking at this one, too. I don't know what it sold for, ultimately.
$196,000.
It's definitely, you know, well, first off, you know, safe spaces and octagons. I told everybody this is where we're heading. You know what I mean? I think the truck market has just exploded, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it is just... Who would have thought, you know, on the eve of 2022, as we're heading into all electric, that this crazy truck market would explode? And the answer is, I would have thought it, because that's what happens when you push people in one direction too hard. It's basically, you know, where do these anti-vaxxers, where do they come from? It's like, well, because you tried to push everyone too hard, and that's where they came from.
Right.
They came from you, essentially, was trying to push them. That's how we roll, is, I say human beings, but probably Americans, you know,
more than
other cultures. So I like it. I still can't really explain the Lamborghini Aventador, or Gallardo, or what the hell
is it?
Murcielago. I mean, it's a cool piece.
Yeah.
I think those things were $100,000 all day long a few years ago.
Yeah.
They're modern. That's the other thing that's going on. Like, these are modern cars that are making it into this, you know, kind of classic car prices, you know, and it's like, we talked about this, you know, 12,000 miles. That's plenty for this Murcielago.
Yeah, that is. I'm
surprised anyone could put 12,000 miles on that car. It's a cool piece. It looks good. It sounds good. You know, it's very
and
classic.
This thing's had like four owners, right? So this isn't, you know, this thing's got passed around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is fine. It's just now you gotta make sure you have that paper trail. So when you tell that story, you're like, oh, I'm the fifth owner on this car, and it's 12,000 miles, and you know, and they're like, oh, okay, and it's pulling this kind of money. So I mean, good for them.
Yeah. All right. Let me hit Mac Weldon here, whether it's the office holiday party or, you know, just lounging around with family and friends. Mac Weldon has all the essentials to keep you stylish and comfortable this season. Their innovative daily wear system has made outfit planning easy, with pieces designed to work together for any occasion, saving you time and extra stress during the holiday season. Ace Collection, super soft, high-performance fabric with unmatched style. Warm Knit Collection, shirts, vests, pajamas, pants, and more. You can use your body heat to keep you at the perfect temperature. I love the technology. It's now made its way into wardrobe. And no one is doing better gift sets this holiday season than Mac Weldon. The stuff's beautiful. I wear it all the time. It's Mac Weldon, right, Matt?
Yeah, you know, for 20% off your first order, visit MacWeldon.com/CarCast and enter promo code CarCast. That's MacWeldon.com/CarCast, promo code CarCast for 20% off. It's Mac Weldon. Get it right this holiday season.
All right. So,
Did you see this news about Jim Farley and his co-driver, Billy Johnson, I think, Billy?
Mm-hmm.
I met Billy. He's really, really nice, obviously very fast. They competed in the classic 12 hours of Sebring, and they ran Jim's car. Jim Farley has a Lola, a T298. Mm-hmm. And they won. They won their class, I guess. I don't know if it was overall. I don't know how it works over there. But Farley hitting the track again, running that car.
Love guy. Yeah, I'd like to see that car.
Yeah, we'll see the car. Bring up a photo of that. I sent a photo. There were some social media photos that they weren't the best quality, but I think it's green. I don't know the full specs on the Lola, but Chris can look it up.
Well, it's probably single center seater.
Yeah,
kind of
78 Cosworth engine
looking.
Yeah, so we'll put up the pictures in a sec. So he raced it in Road Atlanta Grand Prix, and they called it Lola T298 prototype, one powered by 2.0 liter Ford Cosworth engine. Rather than using the BDA engine reported, it's likely He used the more powerful BDG, a naturally aspirated four-banger, making 275 horsepower.
Mm.
Weighs featherweight 1,345 pounds with a power-to-weight ratio of around 350 horsepower per ton.
Nice. Yeah, it's a nice piece. It's a quick car. God bless them.
Yeah, see, that's a cool car.
Yeah.
The mirrors are so goofy.
Yeah.
Like, you got to do the mirrors, and then they got to hang up on, like, a toothpick, mm-hmm. and then you got to tie a string so it doesn't fly off the toothpick, right?
Right.
It's like on a little – it's a kind of a weird setup, but yeah, that's a cool car. I bet it sounds crazy.
Yeah. No livery on it as far as I can tell. So they went full 12 hours, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess cool. So. I guess they ran.
God bless
and
them.
Won it. So
and
that's
won
a,
it.
That's a nice day.
We love Jim Farley, man. speaking of Fords, I know Broncos up to something.
You know, the Ford Bronco has been plagued with a lot of delays. Like a lot of the car companies, it was the chip issue. But the Broncos that were being delivered with the hardtop, they found a bit of an issue with it leaking water under heavy rains, or like, you know, you're washing it or something. So they got on it right away and worked on the fix for it. And now they're happy to say all of the Broncos that have been sitting in their parking lot at Ford that were built and needed hardtops now have new hardtops. They're going to start delivering those. I'm starting to see them on the road. I'm not seeing a Bronco every day. I'm seeing two Broncos a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
Just around town, the full-size new Bronco. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing a couple four-doors, the occasional two-door. There's more four-doors out there. I've seen this cool kind of gray, like this putty gray.
Mm-hmm.
I did see it with the soft top. I didn't see it with the hard top yet, so there's definitely been delays there. But it you know, people are loving it, and they're raving about it and having some fun. It's just kind of... just the right mix of utility and retro style and something kind of new. You know, the Bronco has the 2.7 liter, 330 horsepower EcoBoost V6 in it. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's got some power to it. But they're already working on a Raptor version, a Bronco Raptor.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a video that came out. Bronco Nation on YouTube put out the video. And it just looks like a really nice, you know, like 2-3 minute video of this thing just driving in the dirt and kind of doing donuts. It still kind of had like the camouflage wrap on it, but not mm-hmm. too much.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Raptor lineup has done so well. The F-150 has done so well for Ford. This thing looks pretty cool. It looks like it's going to have the off-road capability. So we have 330 horsepower engine now. There's a 400 horsepower 3-liter V6 in the Ford Explorer ST.
Twin turbo.
Yeah, and that would be perfect for this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the base having the 330,
mm-hmm.
if you can get it. There's a smaller engine too you can get with a manual transmission, but the 330 horsepower, 2.7 liter. If you could put the 3-liter in with the 400 horsepower, an engine that's already out there, then you got this nice lineup of 330 horsepower Bronco, 400 horsepower Bronco, and then F-150, and then you have F-150 Raptor with 450 horsepower,
mm-hmm.
and then Raptor R, which comes out in a year or so, with like 780 horsepower.
Right.
So now you've got this gamut of fun off-road stuff, and that's before you even touch like Ranger or
yeah, you know. Look, I imagine if you have a 3-liter twin turbo that's putting out 400 horsepower, you could flash that thing up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's whenever you have the turbos, you have the ability to wring out more horsepower pretty easily, right?
I think for sure there's an easy 450 horsepower in there with a tune and probably a nice Canon filter. Granted, probably on 93 octane, maybe you're about 435 on the 91 stuff we got out here.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
the
but yeah, for sure, it's easy to do.
Nissan unveiled the GT500.
The Nissan Z GT500. So there's the GT racing class. I think in Japan it's the GT class. And mm-hmm. the GTR, the street mm-hmm. car, that car isn't quite done yet. We've still got another, I think, year. maybe two.
Before they bring back the GTR.
Well, the GTR hasn't ended yet. We still have the GTR. But for next year, this coming season, they're not going to race it. They've already swapped that out for the new Z. But this is the photo you're looking at. This is the new Z GT500. It's a GT500 spec. It will race against Acura NSX and Toyota Supra. But in racing trim, the spec engines for these cars is a 2-liter four-cylinder turbo that makes about 600, 650 horsepower.
Huh, I'm surprised they have a four-cylinder.
Yeah, they got a four-cylinder. It's just the spec that they run in. I think it's...
That must be a rules situation,
that's a rules
right?
situation, yes.
So they can't run a turbo with 3 liters or whatever it is. I mean, there's some rules, some weight, some things.
Interesting, because the street car comes with, what, it's a 3-liter, 400-horsepower twin-turbo V6. But in race trim, a 2-liter, four-cylinder, single-turbo... Paddle-shifted 6-speed is the spec, 650 horsepower.
Wow, that looks like a fun car to drive.
But this is going to be a big influence over the aftermarket, right? When you see, you know, the wide body and the wings and stuff, everything that it's SEMA next year for the Z, this is going to put a lot of influence on that thing. It's kind of a cool looking.
It's very aggressive looking.
Right? Yeah. You should get in one of those. You should reach out to Nissan and say, hey, I'd be down to drive in one of these bad boys. because that thing looks fun as shit.
Well, they got to put, what's her nose, Captain America. Or
Brie Larson.
Yeah, she's got to drive it
first. She's got to drive it first. But she's going to drive in their Super Bowl commercial.
Oh, she is?
Yeah.
I hate her.
Do you?
She does a lot of that Mark Ruffalo shit.
About
inequality and virtue signaling and all that. She's all up in that. She's all woke.
Okay.
I like it when the blonde hotties are all woke up. Shut up, you fucking idiots. It's too much.
Yeah.
I just remember she's, you know, whining about the police or whatever the whoever those idiots are. They're just wrong about everything.
She's really into the gender equality.
I think she wouldn't speak
to reporters that.
But she's the pay parody, right?
She needs like an equal number of female and male reporters.
Yeah, she said. Yeah, she hated the lack of diversity among film reporters and called for better representation of minority voices in film criticism.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's the thing. Some people just do certain things or track certain things. Like I'm a white guy. I travel through LAX. They're about 90% black TSA. I'd like a little more. I'd like to be represented in that group. You know what I mean? So I could have a higher comfort level. Because, you know, the first thing is, has anyone really thought about the racist notion of I need to feel comfortable, so I need people like me?
Yeah.
Like, I need the fire department to look like me so I can feel comfortable. Like, what?
It's just a weird
notion. Anyway, fuck her. Put me in that car.
Put you in the car. That's it.
That's what I'm saying.
Move into that car and get into that racing series. I think you got to go to Japan to race it, too.
All right.
Which adds to the fun factor.
So be it.
Whatever you got to do, you go to Japan.
I would love, look, it's got paddle shifts. I'm in.
I'd love to go to Japan, too. Paddle shifting.
Yeah, I'm in. I would love to do that. All right. Let me tell you about Rock Auto. RockAuto.com. Why spend 30 to 50%, even 100% more for the same parts that a chain store or dealership might have? Why spend so much there? Why not go to RockAuto.com? It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Everything from engine control modules to brakes to motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic car or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few clicks delivered direct to your door. Go to RockAuto.com. See all the parts available for your car or your truck. Write Corolla in the How Did You Hear About Us So that is Corolla, C-A-R-O-L-L-A, in the How Did You Hear About Us box. So they know we sent you. An amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Okay, so what else are we looking at here?
You know, we're starting to get some information in that new Corvette Z06. You know, I saw it at SEMA, saw it at LA Auto Show. It looks insane. The sound of that, you know, 5.5 liter flat plain crank V8. They had a cutaway version at the LA Auto Show, you know, which I always love those things. And you're like, oh, this is a cool idea. Do the cutaway. And you realize that's a $150,000 engine now because the cutaway is really expensive to make it. Mm-hmm. The company that does it.
Is it a four cam engine?
It is. Yeah. It's a four cam engine, flat plain crank.
Everything's aluminum.
Yeah. It just winds out. And it's this cool, like, dual throttle body inlets, and then the intake, the sides, the left and right banks of the intake manifold connect itself with like three more valves that look like throttle bodies in between. So a lot going on in there that contributes to the sound and the power of this
what
thing.
Degree V8 is it? Or is it like just standard? Does it look pretty traditional?
Does it look
a little flatter? Or
it looks pretty traditional.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks pretty traditional.
I didn't want to throw you a curveball, but I mean, it looks normal.
Yeah, and we keep getting into, like, let's define what a flat plane crank V8 is, and it's it definitely changes the firing order, and I think it's shooting two cylinders at once,
mm-hmm.
if I got that correct,
mm-hmm.
right? Instead of, you know, real fast, you know, 1 through 8 in whatever order, I think it kind of gets too close to each other or at the same time. I could be wrong on that. Again, I got to go back and make sure I get it right when I do explain it. But the numbers are coming in that are saying, hey, the base price of this could be around $90,000.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure the carbon track pack or whatever is 18 or 20 grand. But, I mean, it's cool looking. It's got a lot of like Ferrari and McLaren, certainly competition-wise, sub 3 second, I don't know, 2.something, 0-60, mm-hmm. and that sound.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you'd hear that thing from a mile away and go, oh, that sounds like a Ferrari, and then you realize it's the new Corvette for 100 grand? I mean, for under 100 grand? I mean, I'm sure it's gonna. They're all going to be 100 to 120 grand, depending on options, but
it's nice. I mean, good.
Yeah,
here we
that
are.
Thing's going to be. That thing's going
to
be.
Did you say that thing tax up to 93 or 96 or something?
I think it was 9,000.
Yeah, that's a lot of car for that price, which, you know, sounds expensive, but it's a lot of car for that money. And finally, doing what I mean, you know, I just think America always kind of was heading a little bit in the wrong direction in that, I mean, traditionally, you know, I don't know who to blame, Carroll Shelby. I don't know who, but it's like low end grunt and torque. That's basically the domain of school buses and semi trucks and things of that nature, right?
Yeah.
The wrung out, high winding, tack it up. I mean, that's essentially a sports car. Like, if you just go, what's the difference between a school bus and a sports car? It's like, well, the school bus got a lot of torque and a lot of low end. It doesn't wind up. But the sports car's got the wrung out, high revving, you know, fire breathing, whatever.
Yeah.
And America is always, you know, between the Corvette and the Mustangs and, you know, Camaros and Pontiac GTO and stuff, and not to mention all the Mopar stuff, they're always like, let's put the huge low-end lump in this car. And, you know, I get it. They're a little more quarter-mile oriented and stuff like that. But it always kind of flew in the face of what I would think of as a sports car, you know? Like, you know, like I always said, like the first gen Ford or second gen Ford GT, you know, 05, 06, whatever, you know, just sort of the supercharger with the low end and, you know, 6.3 red line or whatever. It's just,
Right.
It kind of flew in the face like this. Of yeah. That's 8600.
Yeah.
It just sort of flew in the face of like the ethos of sports cars, you know, and people go, hey, man, that car kicks ass, or the 0-60 time is good and all that. And I wouldn't argue with you, but I'm saying for me, ringing it out, you know, that's kind of the fun of that kind of spirited driving, you know, and it's also like, you know, you think about why it's so fun to race around in one of those 510 race cars. There's no such thing as not ringing it out. It's just the engine.
Right. It doesn't really go anywhere unless you're, you know, you're halfway through the RPM.
It is. If I would reckon if you went out there with the B sedan guys and the 2.5 Trans Am guys and those guys with all the 510s and their Alfa Romeos and all that stuff. If you shifted that car, if you just went, I'm gonna put the rev limiter down to 6,500, you just fall off the pace.
Yeah.
You just completely fall off the pace. It's got to be 7,700. Otherwise, you can't do
right.
it. And then it makes for really exciting, you know, engaged, spirited driving, because it's all about finding that gear. You know what I mean? You come around the hairpin at the end and you start down the straightaway at Laguna Seca and you've just dropped it into third gear. As you come around that corner, you just be dragging your ass all the way down
that
straightaway. Like, so to me, that is sports cars, you know, that's what I like. And I've never really been that attracted to the American stuff because they were like big lump, low end, big grunt, more. I would reckon that for a long time, a lot of those cars had more torque than horsepower because of the displacement of the engine, but not the, you know, in the architecture of the engine wasn't to wind it out, but whatever. So now here we go.
Well, that's kind of...
It's so, kind of on. I mean, Mustang's kind of, you know, doing that.
Yeah.
You know, Vets, you know, like, it took a while. It's what I've been talking... It's what I've wanted for, like, 40 years, and they're finally going, this is sports cars, and now they have a world-class sports car.
Yeah. I was thinking about...
They did what I wanted.
I mean, talking about the Corvette, like a world-class sports car that you can buy, but the racing car, like Jim Farley's Lola, that little Cosworth engine, I mean, to make the power he needs to make in that thing, it's got to be a lot of RPM.
I think those things are, I think it's probably about $9,000.
I was going to say, it's probably
plus
upwards of $9,000 on that thing to be able to make what it's making, right? So
And it also, you have to drive it a certain way. It's not that forgiving. That just doesn't have any low end for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you're not in the right gear, you're hurting.
Right.
You know. So
getting in those quarters, coming in hot.
That's right. Because
there's no way to get out.
you gotta drive them that way. You know. So that's exciting to me, and it's good that. I mean, it's kind of interesting. I wonder, Chris. We'll put it out there. Let's say like a 84 Vet.
Yeah.
Or a Mustang 5.0.
Yeah.
From back in the day. Do you think they had more torque than horsepower?
That's a good question. I don't think they did, but to your point, like the American Iron Racing Series, which is a lot of like Mustangs and Camaros from the 80s and 90s, because they were limited, that series was interesting because of, they're trying to keep it fairly affordable with, you know, iron block V8, something you can get for a couple hundred bucks. They limited horsepower in some of those classes, but not torque. So they would build up the biggest engine they can make, right? The biggest horsepower and torque engine that they can make, and then start to plug up the intake, like plug up like throttle body. And that really cuts down the horsepower, but the torque still really starts to stay up there. And that whole series is kind of like that whole strategy of restricting the intake, but with a big displacement engine, makes for a different type of racing class because you got all this power to dig out of the corners, but you really don't have a lot of top end, you know, mm-hmm. that, you know, a lot of RPM for that top end. So it kind of flipped the script. But as you know, like as you started to get into the high RPM engines, mm-hmm. that gets costly. Things mm-hmm. start to break at that RPM. Mm-hmm. So how do you make an affordable racing series? You go, oh, you go big torque, low RPM. But I want to say the 5.0 Mustangs, I mean, I think they were like 5,200, 5,500 RPM.
Wait, was that 84 car. Too, the 5.0s? When did they start?
So it was like, in the 80s they had it as well. That was the four-eyed car. And then 87, 88 mm-hmm. was the other car. But, you know, the 5-liter iron block, iron heads, 225 horsepower. I'd be surprised if it was 200 pound-feet of torque.
Do you – hey, Chris, I have some answers. That RPM number's right on the vet, huh? That's a peak – peak horsepower there?
That's what I'm seeing two different sources. Yeah.
Scary. So what do you want to do? What year do you want to do the Mustang? You want to do an 84 and an 84 Vet, an 84 Mustang?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
84.
I have some numbers.
Okay.
First, I'll tell you about Trico. Over a century ago, Trico was the first to make wiper blades. They've been a step ahead of Mother Nature ever since. Trico engineers study your specific driving conditions to make sure you're ready for anything, even if it rains actual cats and dogs. Although, I don't know, Phil hits that windshield.
I got a little crack in my windshield. I could be from that already.
We got issues, people. Whatever the weather, Trico wipers maintain maximum windshield contact. No matter what your driving habits, you're always going to find the right wiper blade for your vehicle. Trico, by the way, they've been the future of wipers since 1917. So you want to find a store near you and find out all the latest offers over there at Trico. You just visit tricocatsanddogs.com. That is tricocatsanddogs.com. All right. This is why I'm a genius. And Matt, I'm a little surprised. I'm a little surprised at you.
Yeah.
I don't throw around the word disappointed that often, but I'm dusting it off for this.
Well, now you're kind of giving it away. I was going to say 84, it was a little lower horsepower, so it was probably
look at him.
200 horsepower. Look at him, and I actually was going to say 200 horsepower and 278 pound-feet of torque.
Well, you already gave your answer, and it was you said my hypothesis is that these cars always had, I mean, for a long time. Yeah. 84 Vet, 205 horsepower mm-hmm. at 4,300 RPM.
Yeah.
It couldn't start with a 5?
No.
4,300. I was surprised it was that low. 205 at 4,300. 290 foot-pounds of torque. So
290
at 2,800. So yeah. My assertion is dead nuts on. You guys were making a sports car with a lot more torque horsepower. And then you go to the 84 Mustang 5-liter 5.0, 175 in the horsepower range at a robust 4,000 RPM. You got to grab that gear, man. That comes up fast. It's coming up fast because it's halfway on where you would normally shift a sports car. That's why it's coming up fast. Torque 245 at 2,400.
Yeah.
Now, so here's, for me, a guy likes to has a little philosophical bent on things. You know, my thing is kind of, on a Corvette or a Mustang, you know, when did the horsepower pass the torque?
Mm-hmm.
Because now it's a sports car. You know, you look at a Ferrari, you know, Daytona from the back in the day. You know, the thing probably had 320 horsepower and 178 worth of torque or something like that. You know what I'm saying? You take a look at a whatever the equivalent would have been from Europe, and you'd see a much lower torque rating and a much higher RPM. So here's the question, Max Zapata, and here's a time to redeem yourself, Matt.
Yeah.
When did Corvette spit out a year? When did Corvette beat its torque with its horsepower?
When did Corvette...
specialty additions aside?
So like a 90 ZR1 wouldn't do it, because I think that's probably what what did it. Mm-hmm. I wish I was more of a Corvette guy, but not until the C5 Corvette.
What year was that? Sorry.
C5 was...
you want to just hop ahead to a 2000 Corvette and see what happened? And do a 2000, Mustang as well, and we'll see what happened. But it's I don't know if they passed it at 2000.
Yeah, I don't know. I was funny. I was just looking at my car outside, the Mustang Mach 1, and now we're at 480 horsepower and 420 pound-feet of torque.
Right.
Right. I mean, now both the numbers are way up. They're double what they, more than double what they were back then. But
what year did they start the C5, Max Pata, if you can tell us that? The C5 had 345 horsepower at 5,600 RPM, but 350 foot-pounds of torque.
It's getting close.
At 44.
But I bet they added a little RPM because the torque doesn't sustain.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That flattens out. But the the horsepower can go up with RPM.
The C5 was from 97 to 04.
Still haven't passed it. So that's if anyone wants to know why what's my beef with American cars, it's like that's kind of it.
So C5 doesn't get it done, but then C6 does get it done, right? Because now they got to add a little more RPM, right? You got to... Right. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason for a little more RPM is so you can, add more gears.
Well, the 2000 Mustang Cobra, but that is still kind of a special edition.
The 2000 Mustang Cobra, I think, had a four valve engine in it.
So that's a specialty item.
Yeah.
The Cobra, I just need the straight Mustang V8. But 320 horsepower, 317 torque.
Because of the four valve and the RPM.
Probably, yeah. It's 6,000.
Yeah, because now that you've added that extra RPM, the horsepower can keep going and the torque is staying a little flat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm guessing the C7 Corvette started to do it. Again, just not the specialty ones, but it's probably, what was the first year, 2005?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that started to do it, but...
The C6 went to 638 horsepower and 604 in the torque. So now we're moving. And I'm guessing, what is that flat planer? I mean, I know the high end is, what are you, into the fives in the horsepower, the 480 or something like that?
For which?
The flat plane vet? Crank?
The flat plane crank Corvette is 8,600 RPM and like 670 horsepower.
Must be down on the torque.
It must be down on the torque, yeah. What's the new Corvette Z06 torque, or the new Corvette Z06?
I'll have Z06, Chris look
Z06 it up. Engine specs. But, yeah, big – well, first when they announced it, they got way more horsepower than what everybody thought. But they said 8,600 RPM. Like, well, there you go. Right. That's where you're getting it. But also, that's what makes that sound good.
All right, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
670 in the horsepower and 460 in the torque, which means it's got, again, not so long ago, these things had more horsepower more torque than horsepower. Now it's more than 200, it beats it by more than 200 horsepower. All right,
but they've added more than double the RPM. Would you say 4,000 RPM on the Corvette or something like that? And then it's 8,600 on this. Double the RPM now.
Yep.
Which is fantastic.
Yep.
All right, guys, whether you own your home or rent your home, I bet it could be a lot of hard work. But you know what's easy? It's bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. We know that's a good thing because you already have so much to do around your home already. Just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.
All right, you can come down to the Bray Improv this Wednesday and see me and TJ Miller taping shows for the Daily Special up there. The Warburton show is probably sold out, but the TJ Miller has some tickets left. So we're going to be part of it. We're going to be taping it for the Daily Wire, doing stand-up specials over there. Portland coming up, Helium Comedy Club, December 22nd, 23rd. We're doing live shows there, live podcasts there, and also we're doing live stand-up there. And you can check out the whole Truth Yeller series at thedailywire.com/Adam. Sign up for your membership there. And our Chassis channel, 687 on Pluto TV, all the Shelby uppity 24-hour war, Niki Lauda story, it's all there. It's all free. What do you got, man?
I was just going to say on that show, Going Racing, there should be a new season of Going Racing with Adam Carolla on Pluto, so check that out. I'm not exactly sure what's all in that season yet, but I know we filmed a bunch of stuff, so that'll be good. And as I said, PRI, Friday, if you're at PRI, as you're listening to this, Friday, 10 a.m., PRI, the main stage.
So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.